Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wednesday morning, November 19th, a little bit more than a week away from Thanksgiving. Doesn't feel like it. Foggy out. Be careful about that. It is coming up on 8:15. And we're joined by Ronald Serpas, as we are every Wednesday morning, a professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent, Washington State Police superintendent, Nashville City Police Chief, and a lifelong police officer. How you doing, sir? Good morning.
I'm great, Tommy. How are you?
I'm all right. Let's talk about these immigration sweeps or the arrival of, what is it, Border Patrol, Customs and Border Patrol. They've been around for a long time, correct?
Right, the customs office, which predates CBP, which was a result of 2001, has been here. There's a building on Canal Street, and the name of it's the Customs House. Mm-hmm. Right, so it's part of the federal government for generations, particularly around port cities. After 2001, they've made some changes. So now you have ICE, the ICE division, you have Homeland Safety, security investigators, and you have CBP. Each and every one of them have different positions and duties, and sometimes they overlap. In the case of CBP officers in any of our cities, and you know, and I've talked about this before, if I was the chief, I would expect to be able to speak to people and understand strategies and tactics so that we don't cross purposes and that we don't cause any disruption to either's operations. And ultimately, two facts can exist at the same time. One, the federal government doesn't have to ask anybody to enforce federal law, as far as I know. And two, local police always have a responsibility to make sure nobody gets hurt, be they an agent, be they a citizen, be they an illegal immigrant, or be they a legal immigrant. So that's really kind of what the parameters are.
How important is the communication factor there? Because I'm thinking you could have maybe a ICE agent grab somebody that maybe NOPD or state police or somebody else was investigating, and then before you know it, all of that's compromised.
Well, I think absolutely. That's a term called deconfliction on known investigations and known investigative targets. Now, this is going to shock some of the listeners, but it is very true that people who are engaged in criminal activity, A, tend to be a very small number of people, B, are criminally oriented, and C, may have a whole list of criminal activities to include illegal immigration or failing to follow a final order of deportation or just robbing people. So the fact that this small population of co-offending criminals could include illegal immigrants is absolutely normal, expected, and understood. Therefore, deconfliction is important.
So what would be the first step with the arrival, or should steps be taken now before they even get here with, okay, what are you guys going to be doing? What are we going to do this? How can we that, et cetera?
I would hope and expect that some of that's happened. I do know that I remember reading in the paper not long ago, Superintendent Kirkpatrick mentioned that she was working or looking forward to working with the National Guard on any deployment they would have. Those deployments come differently in different time, but the CBP investigators, the Homeland Safety Security Officer investigators, they work with local police all the time, much more fluid. So I would hope that those kinds of things would be simply a phone call. Hey, y'all are coming? Yeah. Well, let's talk about about deconfliction. And remember, Tommy, that would be the most important thing to me. Only a handful of people repeat criminal offense. Some of them are U.S. citizens. Some of them are illegal immigrants. Some of them are legal immigrants. It's a very small population that will cross over among each other. So deconfliction among local, state, and federal makes a lot of sense.
I remember years ago, Border Patrol used to have these green and white cars. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. So, I think I still see pictures of them, yeah.
Yeah, but, and I remember my daddy had a gas station, he used to come in there and they'd service them. That's how I first became familiar with this. How has that whole agency changed? Take me through the evolution of that, if you will. You mentioned 2001 with Customs and then Border Patrol and then ICE. Take me through the evolution of that, if you would.
So Customs Border Patrol sounds like what it is. It was originally the customs function, which involved, you know, we had officers in the middle of the 80s leave the NOPD to go work for customs. Some were pilots, others did other things. They were investigators for customs, things that were coming in through ports of entry. Border Patrol is traditionally what's always been upon the border. So in a very loose definition, those two agencies were combined. Mm-hmm. Immigration Customs Enforcement, ICE, is a bit more towards that part of the spectrum, which involves investigating those persons who are here on deportation orders or those persons who are violating the criminal law or the civil law of entering the country without authority, because they both can exist at the same time, but they're both laws. So CBP, Customs Border Patrol, has probably, let's say it's this way, maybe a more uniform function at the ports of entry. It made sense to combine them two because customs agents used to be the ones at ports of entry to go walk on the big container ships on the river, make sure the bills of lading were correct, make sure there was no, you know, nothing being smuggled. Border Patrol was typically along the border. Those two functions essentially work together now. And then Immigration Customs Enforcement, ICE, that has a lot more to do with some of the criminal activity that's related to people.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. I got a lot of other questions. If y'all have any, text them in to 504-260-1870. We're talking with our friend Ronald Serpas, professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent, about the arrival of ICE and what it could look like in New Orleans after they finish up at Charlotte and after they, I think, just left Chicago. We'll take a break, come back. Traffic now, WWL. 8:25 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Ronald Serpas talking about Border Patrol and ICE and customs and coming to New Orleans on maybe December 1st. Chief, do you know, somebody texted in, why do they wear masks when they go out? Do you have any idea why they do that?
Publicly reported is that with the changes in social media and cell phones in everybody's hands, there's examples of people who disagree with the practice that the federal government's doing of taking pictures of those officers and doxing them, a familiar phrase for exposing them and their families to the public.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
To be honest with you, as a retired police officer and a family member who has members of the New Orleans Police Department who are still active, putting people in danger on either side of the equation is absolutely the wrong thing to do. So young people running around taking videos and putting those pictures on the internet, and looking up who those people's family members are. What a cowardly way to say, I don't like what the police are doing. I don't like what the feds are doing. So I'm going to go embarrass that person's family. I'm going to go put their children's safety at risk by putting their family on the internet. It's despicable, absolutely despicable. So they wear the mask to protect their face from vision.
What are your thoughts on a consent decree ending? And would anything that Border Patrol, ICE, whatever, however you want to refer to it, is doing, would that conflict with the consent decree as it's in place now?
I always supported the consent decree. I've always expected the NOPD to come out of it. I'm excited for the NOPD's future that they'll be out from the consent decree. And no, constitutionally enforcing the law is what the consent decree was all about.
So when it comes to what people see and sometimes take offense to, where, I don't know, does it come to probable cause? Take me through the law enforcement aspect of Border Patrol arriving, hopping out of a van, going to a group of people, and then tell me what happens from there and where is the constitutional part of that, or where would people get mistaken and think it's unconstitutional?
I think people who get mistaken are the ones who don't understand it to begin with, and there's very little you can tell them to change their mind because it's an ideology, it's a political statement, and that's fine. I get that. But basically, you have limited number of agents and officers who are looking for very small numbers, but could be thousands in a city, of people who are already have a deportation order that they got to go, have a crime that they've been arrested for or convicted for. You're generally going to start there first because that's the easiest people to identify. Now, what happens, and especially in some of these videos we see, what has happened and has been reported is that I'm an ICE agent and I'm coming after Tommy. Mm-hmm. And Tommy's got serious problems. And when I get to Tommy, friends of Tommy get in between me and getting to Tommy. Those people who are not illegal immigrants, however, have broken the law of obstructing my investigation and arrest of someone who has an order of deportation or a warrant. That's where you see these other people getting dragged in. No pun intended. They're getting dragged into the videos. They're getting dragged into the pictures. And then some part of the media will say, look at these innocent people being arrested by the feds. It might happen, but more likely it's that somebody interfered with the feds doing what they were doing with someone who was a target that had orders of deportation or warrants. Those explain general concepts. Are there exceptions to each of those? Of course. But by and large, why would you go fishing for bass when you know you can catch catfish, right? You just go fish for catfish instead of bass.
Well, I think some people would say you just cast, like the menhaden industry, where you just cast a wide net and you get some people caught up or some things caught up in the catch that you don't necessarily want. Should people that are of brown skin or people that speak Spanish or that are here legally be concerned with ICE coming to town?
I think that anyone who's confronted by a federal agent or a law enforcement agent, be they white, brown, black, legal or illegal, has a responsibility to answer legally authorized questions and do so in a way with the least amount of drama between the two of them so it de-escalates, right? We train police officers to de-escalate circumstances with people they have a right to ask questions of. Be you legal, illegal, had a gun in your hand, pulled a robbery, the police still offer the opportunity to de-escalate that to get to the bottom of it, and that happens in any instance.
And if you do, if you are in the country legally, what are you obligated to carry with you?
Well, that's a question I don't know the answer to. That's a good question. I'll know by next week.
We'll figure it out. Thank you, Chief. I appreciate your time, as always. All right, we'll take a break, come back, 8:30, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. It's 8:38, another Wednesday before Thanksgiving. That means time to talk to Justin Kennedy over at Parkway Po' Boys. How you doing, Justin?
I'm doing great, Tommy. I love being a regular on the show in November,
well,
man.
Well, we love having you on because it's all for a good cause. Tell me what's happening at Parkway today.
Yeah, so every Wednesday in November, we have today and next Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. We're doing our Thanksgiving Po' Boy. Everything made from scratch, from the dressing to the turkey to the gravy, all on Leinheimer French bread. And, you know, it draws a big line. People love it. It's like it's real rare. It's hard to get, so people get in line for it. And we developed a fundraiser with the Al Copeland Foundation. If you drop a $100 bill, you get to skip the line, and there is a line for sure. Mm-hmm. Skipping that line, you get the sandwich, you get a T-shirt, you get a chance to spin the wheel. It's like a Wheel of Fortune, but with all our sponsors, Blue Plate, Louisiane, our Crystal Hot Sauce, Leinheimer, they all got swag, hats, shirts, prizes. Get a chance to spin that. You get a Hubik's Pie, the sweet potato edition. And
all that $100 goes to fighting cancer. And that's pretty much it. You know, we've raised, the max we've ever raised is $40,000 in 4 days. And we're already there before we start in a couple hours. So, and if you don't have the money to, you know, drop a $100 bill, you know, times are tough. If you just want to come in and buy a sandwich, if you want to wait in line, you can spend $5 to spin the wheel. There's all kind of ways you can donate, you know. So it's just a fun event. It's real festive. It's a vibe when you come here. It's really exciting. And, you know, this is a sandwich that is literally saving lives, you know. And that's first and foremost. You know, it is good. But everyone has tasted this because everyone eats Thanksgiving. Everybody knows good Thanksgiving meal. But the main thing, it's raising money to fight cancer.
And all homemade. I'll see you later with my $500 check, my friend. How do people find out more, Justin, if they want to donate?
You can go to parkwaypoorboys.com, hit the drop-down link, or alcopelandfoundation.org, and you can buy that skip-the-line ticket.
All for a good cause. All right, my friend. Thank you, Justin Kennedy over at Parkway Poor Boys. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, about what does the law say about deep fakes, AI images, like the mess they're having down in Lafourche Parish. We'll be back, WWL. 8:46, 14 till 9 last week. We talked to Alyssa Curtis about that stuff going on down in Lafourche Parish. You can imagine as a parent that your daughter, pictures of your daughter are being circulated by teenage boys that are not really nude pictures of her, but her face has been AI implanted or artificially put onto these. So for all intents and purposes, people think it is real. She swatted the phone out of the kid's hand. She got some disciplinary action. I'm giving you the quick details here. Dane Cialino joins us now, our friend, professor of law at Loyola, to talk about what the law has to say about deep fakes, Title IX, everything else. How you doing, Dane?
Just fine, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. What does the law say about, because here's the thing. If somebody takes a picture of me, I don't know why they would want to do this, but if they were to do that and then generate a nude photo of me, or not of me, but a nude photo and put my face on it, it's not really me other than my face. But what does the law say about all of this?
Yeah, it says a lot. I mean, this is an area where Congress, state legislatures, including the Louisiana legislature, and federal regulators under Title IX have been very active in the last couple of years. Deepfakes were something that no one heard about 3 or 4 years ago, and now we've got this this web of criminal and regulatory sanctions that exist for creating deepfakes. At the highest level, the federal criminal level, if somebody knowingly creates and then distributes an image of somebody who is identifiable in a deepfake, and it's an intimate image that includes nudity, sex acts, states of undress, whatnot, then there are potential federal criminal crimes that exist. Also, there are takedown provisions that require online platforms like Instagram or Facebook or X to remove images once they get a report of them, and to take reasonable efforts to prevent re-uploads of those sorts of things. So there's that level. Then, of course, the Louisiana legislature in 2023 also created a new crime, a state crime, that deals with unlawful deepfakes of minors, that sets fairly stringent hard labor penalties of 5 to 20 years in prison for doing these sorts of things. So, yeah, I mean, again, this is something that none of us heard of 3 or 4 years ago, and now we've got this criminal and regulatory framework to try to stop it.
Now, let me take a break. I want to talk about the civil aspects of this as well when we come back, if that's kept up with it or not, and has the law really kept up with all of this? A lot of people have questions about Title IX and what part that has in this, so we can discuss all of that when we come back with Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola. Any questions, you can text them into 504-260-1870. Right now, it's time for traffic on WWL. 8:56, 4 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with our friend Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, talking about this. You know, I can't imagine this father having a daughter, and you got AI-generated nude photos of your daughter. I don't even know how to phrase it, Dane, because it's your daughter's face. It's not her body, but still, nobody knows that to look at it. And we talked about the criminal protections against this and Title IX. What does Title IX have to do with this?
Well, Title IX applies in cases where any school or college gets federal financial assistance. And Title IX does define online harassment to include the non-consensual distribution of even AI-generated intimate images. If the image is severe, pervasive, and objectively offensive, like this one clearly was, and Title IX obligates the school to take supportive measures and have a formal grievance process, investigate the claims of online harassment, et cetera. So yeah, Title IX is implicated, as well as we've already discussed, those federal and state criminal statutes.
So at what point does this become child porn? Because if it's a child's face on an adult body, you can't just say this is this or that. There has to be a law behind it, right? So does the law cover that?
Yeah, good question. I mean, if it's not a real child involved in the porn, then they certainly would have a defense that it's not child porn, but it certainly would still fall under these deep fake criminal statutes. Yeah, that's a good question. I think it would really depend on how much of the image is authentic.
And what about the civil portion of this, Dane? Can you be civilly liable for this, or is it a thing where yeah, you can get a judgment, but it's a wallpaper judgment because all you need is a phone and a little bit of, or a computer and a little bit of knowledge, and you can do this, and you have no assets.
Yeah, I mean, it's still tortious conduct that can lead to a regular civil tort suit in state court. That is certainly one of the options available to the family. If they can identify who did it and that it caused damages, then it would be an ordinary tort suit that would be viable.
So any final thoughts here, Dane, before we let you go? Anything I should have asked
you? No, again, very interesting topic and one that's continuing to evolve. And everything's moving very quickly in this area, so the law is just trying to keep up.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola. We take a break. We come back. I tried to ask you the top five permanent, problematic, persistent potholes in the area, and I was just besieged with answers, so I had to change it. And I'll tell you when I give you the survey results after the 9 o'clock hour. Plus, we'll talk with Alex Hammerstone about when you use a website or app to buy something, what happens to your data? How are they tracking it? And what do they do with it? Somebody texted in a question last week about facial recognition data and to establish their age for whatever reason and what chances are that their picture could wind up somewhere speaking with Dane Cialino where they don't want it. And we'll talk to Bobby Hebert, co-host. You know who Bobby Hebert is. We'll talk about the Saints with him. So a lot coming up. Going to be a big 9 o'clock hour. Stay with us on this Wednesday morning, November 19th. Hopefully the fog will burn off and we'll be back to normal. WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.